Blog Talk Radio.
Zanu, giving you the best of me. How amazing, so magnificent. And each and every day, we are giving you the best that we have to give as teachers. We're bringing it to you straight from the hip. For you teachers that are out there that are definitely giving the best that you have to give, I want you to give some shout-outs today, and I want you to put some of your students on blast. If they don't call in and acknowledge you, then you do it for yourself, teachers. You got to pull your own self up by your bootstraps. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omeka 7 here live coming to you straight from my studio. And I'm bringing it to you today because we've got to stop and pay homage and give credit where credit is due, acknowledging our teachers on Teacher Appreciation Day. That's right. I declare this a holiday for the teachers right before the eve of Thanksgiving. And it's okay, teachers, for you to rally around your significant friends, and others to give them homage. It's all right for you to give a praise report, parents. If you want to call in and give a praise report, that number is 646-478-0270. And for you little G's, you little homies, get on the horn and call in and tell me who your favorite teacher was and tell me why you like that teacher so much. And don't go telling me because she didn't give me any homework, so she was my favorite teacher. I want you to tell me something like, I learned a lot from her, and she taught me how to learn, and she showed me how to process information. So why don't you get on the phone and call 646-478-0270. You can call little G. It's still not midnight. Omi's going to stay around for a while. I hope you'll stick around for a while. But right now, we're going to take a station identification, and I hope you will be there when I get back in the atmosphere. I'll be
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good.
All right, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us this evening. I'd like to say habarigani to my new friend, and I'd like to say what's up to my old friend. Ladies and gentlemen, how amazing, so magnificent to be up front and close and comfortable with you. And thank you for joining me in my bedroom today. We switched our zoning areas a little bit, and we decided to get up front and personal and close with you. We're going into the studio of Omi's home right now, and I'm in my bedroom. I wish I could actually zoom you in so I can see you right on the air. Unfortunately, we're not at that high technology yet, but we will soon be. Today is Teacher Appreciation Day. And little G's, can you say that with me? Teacher Appreciation Day. That means we're going to take some time out to send a shout-out about our favorite teachers, and we're going to talk about the subject of teachers and what good teachers do not have as support system, and we're going to talk about those good teachers who need to be acknowledged and what makes up a good teacher and how do you know if you're a good teacher or not. I don't want you to be shy. I want you to call in, mothers, and give a praise report if you know the teacher that has really helped you and your family, because you literally, parents, you go through with the child, helping them with their homework, so you feel like the teacher is a part of your life as well. Now, why don't we go to the throne of grace so we can acknowledge our higher self? And if you don't mind, I hope you're following these rituals, because we're going to get deeper and deeper into these rituals. As you know, we've been talking about the nature's remedy and how we can resolve this problem that we have with the earth wobbling, how we can justify and get into right standing before the year of 2012, December the 21st. And that is the date that is predicted that our world is going to shift, and we're going to go into a new paradigm shift. Not that the world will end at that point. Our paradigms will be shifting. The reptilian stage that we're coming out of will be going into a new stage. We will no longer be acknowledging the reptilian stage, ladies and gentlemen. And don't get me started on that, because that's for another whole topic. So I'm going to just give you just the surface information until we get into the last days. I want you to stay with me on this because I'm taking you somewhere. In the last days is when we're going to get into what is transpiring. We've talked about freaky weather. We've talked about how nature can cure our illness. We've talked about dealing with psychic paranormal. We've talked about being clairvoyant. We've even talked about how we can be spiritual. We've even talked about the difference between spiritual and clairvoyant. We've even talked about incorporating cultural enrichment in our classrooms, in our children's curriculum. We've even talked about culture in our lives. And these things are all necessary, ladies and gentlemen. I'm giving you the best that I got. I'm giving you the best that I've got. And if you don't mind, I want to sing it to the world, because when you come and give your heart and you talk about things that are pertinent and that are applicable to our lives that we can use Monday morning, then I become necessary in your life. And I want to be upfront and close and personal with you. That is why I'm singing and praising you today. I want to give a praise shout out to my audience. I want to shout out to all those followers who've been following me even during the time that I was in class testing and I wasn't here. Thank you so very much for staying with me and being my friend. Thank you for being my friend. I want to thank you for being my friend. Even when I was friendless and was not here, thank you for supporting me, sending me all those emails. I just want to send a shout out to all my friends today. I love you and support you. And certainly we'll continue to follow you. And I'm going to ask you to follow the leader, too. Now, we're over in the throne of grace, and we want to send up high praises, and we want to send up rituals so that our ancestors can know that we are supporting them. And without them, we'd be a damn fool. We would not be able to exist without them. So I want to call on those ancestors that are in the middle passage today to make sure they make their way through today. First of all, I'm going to call on Oluduamare. We know that he is the triumph, the threefold, Olorun, Ilede, and Olorun. We know that also Owi is in that category, who is clothed with matter. And we want to call on that force to be being one God. We are a monotheistic person and people in this class where we believe in the one God concept, even though they have different task and responsibility on the hierarchy. We believe in the one God today. So we pour a libation for Oluduamare, and we say Ashe. I'm going to pour a libation for my mother's spirit, Clara, representing Yamanja. I say Ashe. I pour a libation for my father's spirit, Obatala. I say Ashe. I pour libation to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to the south, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. Now, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the path of the righteous one, not on those paths that have gone astray. And we pray, Father, today that every teacher will be acknowledged and all of those children will begin to rally around their teacher and they will lift their teacher up. And parents, I'm praying that you will see the good in the teacher and that it is up to the pupil to forepass the teacher and become an example as well. And we just want to acknowledge teachers. And what is a good teacher? If you know what a good teacher is out there, why don't you call in at 646-478-0270. If you know the meaning of a good teacher is someone who's first of all a friend and who can see the child. Most teachers are so busy in the class that they don't notice the child's needs or their gifts or their abilities. But it's certainly up to the teacher to see the child on the inside and the out. And it's very necessary for the teacher to be able to see what shortcomings the child has and what they need to make them whole. And if we can do nothing else, teachers, we ought to be able to see our pupils and find out what it is they need on a daily basis, and trying to give them an opportunity to deduce the knowledge that's already in them. Because we are not putting any new knowledge there. We're drawing out from within that child's spirit. We will do no harm, but we will deduce what is already there and draw it out. Now, for you mothers out there who have favorite teachers and you've had a go-around with your teacher, I want you to apologize. I want you to go to your teacher and tell them I was wrong. I did not believe that you would be able to understand my child's learning disability, so I reacted or I overreacted. Go to those teachers and apologize. Ask their forgiveness. Now, don't forget, holidays are coming up. And when I was teaching, I was so used to getting all kinds of gifts from my favorite parents. They were my family. Why wouldn't they buy me a gift? When I came to school, I had gifts for their children, every one of them. Every year that I can remember with my preschoolers and kindergartners, I always had a gift for them and their family. I even had a store in the classroom, so I made sure that I gave everyone a gift. And when they came with gifts for me, once I got crystal angels, and each one of the angels meant something very special to me. Those angels are not with me now. Of course, I left them abroad before I came back from Europe. But that was so precious when the parents gave me these angels that I cried. And I can remember embracing all these families, and they became my real family. Outside of work, they still were interacting with me and doing things with me. And most of the teachers believe you do not fraternize with the parents, but that is contrary, my friend. You want to make your parents your friend. And a good teacher, first of all, makes her student her best friend, because that student should be able to come and tell that teacher anything. You're supposed to be rooting for that child and be that child's best advocate. Then that child will feel comfortable enough to come to you and tell you anything. As long as you hold his information secrecy in the realms of understanding. Now, if those things that they tell you that grown-ups need to know about, then you will have to break that vow and let that child know, I must take this to higher authorities. We do not withhold information that could hurt the child. But it's very important for the parent to understand that a good teacher will suggest that they make home visits periodically to meet the family. And that's just me. I'm old school, okay? I don't know if all of you have done that before, but I have done that with some children who needed the extra help and who I had to get upfront, personal, and comfortable with their parents. So I had to get to know them in the home. Not only to get to know them in the home, but to allow the parents to come to my class anytime they want. Not with a prior appointment, calling 15 weeks in advance, but anytime they want. We had an open policy that this classroom is open to any parent that would like to come in, and especially those who would like to volunteer and work in the class. So we became a family. So whenever we went on field trips, we had 100 strong. And my principal would always say, how is it that you're able to get 100% of your parents here ready to go on field trips? You know why? We made a big deal of it. Prior to the field trip, we plan, and then we plan some more, and then we organize, and then we assign a parent, two children to every parent. And if we could not get two children to every parent, we canceled the field trip, because that way every child was 2-to-1 ratio, and parents were there to assist those children so that you were not going ill-prepared on a field trip without enough chaperones. So the parents knew that when we got ready to travel, you volunteer, because we did not want to cancel that trip. And as long as I can remember, we never had to cancel one. So we had 100 strong. Even the fathers showed up. Now, that was a family. When we went out, we represented. We had our T-shirts with our names on it saying who we were and what our class was. Every child had a number on there. So when that child left, we could record that number so you knew who that child was. If you didn't know his name, you knew his number, and we had correlating tablets that would put that child's face to a number so no one got lost when we left there. And we had instruction, and we delegated, and we put people in charge so that they had leadership skills. So my parents were extra prepared to become leaders. So in my absence, they could take over my class and keep it going until I got there if I was running a little late. So this is what you do. That's right. This is what you do. You make your parents teachers too. Remember, they were the first teachers, and you put them up front in the class, and you allow them to demonstrate. You allow them to be responsible for the snacks, bringing them in, correlating them, writing the newsletters. You also allow them to be responsible for the bulletin board. You give them a job to do. when they come every day, it's not because they want to be waiting around looking for something you're doing wrong. It's because they want to go to work. And teachers, you should learn to put them to work. And when they come in your class and they feel comfortable with you and can go to work and be a part of your class, you will never have to worry about someone to cover you when you need to take a trip to the office. It's very important that you understand what I'm saying, teachers, because we first must have to learn to be mothers. And being mothers and administrators, and a good teacher knows her administrative skills. If she doesn't have those skills, then she brings a parent in to help organize her so she has administrative skills and runs the classroom like a business office, not like somebody who has anybody walking in. Now, I said that people could come into my class, but they had better be on that list, because nobody's walking in that class is not on that list. A divorced husband who might have not been clear, who's going to walk in to take that child out. It's not happening, not today, not ever. And it shouldn't happen because it's illegal, parents. And teachers, when it happens to you, you could be brought up on charges. So you have to know who your parents are. And if they're not on that list and a regular, they cannot take that child anywhere. Because parents will soon fall out with you if you don't know your job and you're doing things illegally. That's when you'll lose friendship with parents who want things organized and done correctly. And they should have it that way. That's why you got to be a good teacher, and you got to have eyes behind your head. And you got to be conscious enough that the people like you enough that they're willing to tell you something behind you that you don't see. But if you're hated by the parents and they're out to get you and they want you to stumble and fall, and guess what? You will stumble and fall down at the central office because they won't support you. But if they care about you genuinely and that they work with you and they see the benefit you are bringing to the class, they will cover and they will assist you and aid you. This is a twofold agreement on both parts. You cannot be a good teacher by yourself without the support of the parents. Your parents are your best adversary and they're your best support group. You must develop your parents and develop a support group if you're ever going to think about running an institution of your own one day. You must have the vote of the parent. And you can't always have everyone, but you do a good enough job so the general consensus is anonymous. And you can also bet on the fact that when they are ready to vote on good teachers, your name will be somewhere in that group. Now, principals don't always have to like you, and you don't always have to like your principal, but you must learn to respect your principal. And you must learn to respect the goals that they have and get behind your principal to support those goals because they're their goals. You can't create goals of your own. You must support the goals that your principal has set for you. And when you get to the point where you can no longer support those goals, then you put in your resignation and make your transition quickly and quietly. Because there is no way two people can have two sets of goals in one school building because it will become a monster. You cannot be going two separate ways. You must be going down the same path to support the one goals that comes from the administrator. It's very important to understand, teachers, you're a teacher on and off the clock. So when you're outside of the classroom doing an after-school program where children may be acting out, it is up to you to say something, to speak into those children's lives. Do not let them go on wrecking havoc in the school. Let them know that even though you're off the clock, you still will make them mindful of their Iwatelu, good character, good conduct. But you also, teacher, must be demonstrating that. You cannot be going into the same disco joint that the young teenager is going in and coming out the same door. It will not work. Excuse me. It's very essential that you understand you do not go to the same places that your students go to. Excuse me. And when we get to the point where we realize we are role models and we're setting an example for our children, we then will begin to realize that it's up to us to carry ourselves and conduct ourselves in a mannerable way. A good teacher always has a lesson plan ready. And she always has a book somewhere that she's ready to introduce. A good teacher will be on her toes at all times, and something will be written on the blackboard on a daily basis. I don't care if it's the regular schedule. I don't care if it's the high-frequency words. I don't care if it's the child's spelling words. Something needs to be written on the board. And she should always ask the child, can you come and read the room? There should be flash words written on the ceiling. There should be flash words written on the actual shades of the lights of the curtains in the room. There should be words everywhere. There should be a word bank. And the child should be introduced to four new words on a weekly basis to build their vocabulary. The teacher should become a wordologist. And if she doesn't have that skill, she needs to go out and sharpen her tools, because children are expecting you to feed their word bank. They're expecting you to broaden their vocabulary. They're expecting you to intrigue them to something brand new. You are an entertainer, teacher. Whether you like it or not, when you step in front of that classroom, you are an entertainer. You must be able to make the children laugh every once in a while and not be so stuffy and serious. You cannot lecture every time you go in front of the classroom. There must be some hands-on work. You must allow the child to become kinesthetically involved. That's right. Let them get involved up to their elbows, because that's how they learn. African-American children learn through their kinesthetic senses. And you must not be so serious about education as if they cannot make a mistake. The reason why they put the gears in the car, if you were going the wrong way, you can put it in reverse and turn around and come back. Always let a child know if there's a way into a situation, there's a way out of a situation. Most of our children become devastating, thinking that this is the last draw, that I can't change anything, I can reverse and go back, and they feel like they're stuck. Always tell them that there's a solution to every problem. Then that child will come to you in good faith, knowing that they can make a correction if they have error. And tell them sometimes the error is there so that we can become better persons and we can press God forward in our lives so he could show up. And I want you to understand, we have to cultivate the child's spirit. A good teacher cultivates the child's spirit. Do not do harm to the child, and allow the child to develop his own spirit. And don't put thoughts in their mind, especially biased thoughts. Allow them to cultivate their own spirit and to be the person that God intended them to be. And you begin to help to develop it, but not taint it or change it. It's very important that you give that child back to the parents better than they gave the child to you. It's important that you put something and deposit something in them of richness, but don't overburden them with all of your beliefs and thoughts. School is not meant to bury a child with all these innuendos and all of these paradigm thoughts. The child is supposed to tell you something that the Creator has given him, and you take what he's showing you and you fine-tune it and you buffer it. You don't change the direction or the route the child is going in. If the child thinks he wants to be a doctor, then cultivate a doctor in your class. If he wants to be a barber, then cultivate a barber. Do not say, oh, Johnny, you don't want to be that. You're going to be a lawyer. Johnny may not be ready for going into becoming a lawyer. Johnny may know exactly what it is he wants, even at the age of 10. We have to understand boys' curriculum change after they go into fourth grade. That's when the failure centers start. We got to beef up our program teachers. At fourth grade, we got to offer some programs, and that means after-school programs that pertain to science, that will allow our black boys to enter into after-school programs. We got to keep our children in school. We can't keep perturbing them to the point where they want to drop out and they feel like it doesn't make any sense to stay any longer. We've got to give them something they don't have. Curriculums have got to change. Children no longer want this dried-out curriculum that has nothing to do with them. We've got to bring them a current event that is touching and pertaining to their community from the